spoke your power to the raging sea, and spoke your mercy to a sinful man. Remind me, Jesus, this is what I my eyes and sleep again. The universe is vast beyond the stars, but you are mindful when the sparrow falls, and mindful thoughts that find me, surround me, and bind me. Jesus, King of angels, heaven's light,
good morning. How's everybody today? It's good to see you here today on this beautiful Lord's Day. What a blessing it is to live here in California. And you know, there are people all over there talk about it's cold and, you know, and things like that. You know, you see that, you know, different places of the country. And we're enjoying nice, warm, sunshiny weather. But we are in desperate need of rain. But it's great to see you here today. I'm glad you came. How many of you have ever found that you struggle with doubts? How many of you have ever struggled with doubts? You know, I found when I was a young man, especially as a young Christian, doubts was something that I didn't realize that I would have to deal with. In fact, I struggled with them a lot. They bothered me. You know, doubts are something that unfortunately could become a way of life. And for me, as I got older, I dealt with even more doubts. Dealt with doubts not only as about the Bible, unfortunately, but I also had doubts about the Christian life and about the things in the Christian life. And so I dealt with doubts, and I don't know if you have, but you probably, like me, maybe you've had some doubts from time to time. Something I found is that thinking people, Andrew, don't forget I need my screens at the screens here, okay? Don't forget that thinking people are those who have a tendency to have doubts. You know, if you're a thinker, you probably will, because within our own reason, we like to reason things out. And within our reasoning capabilities, a thinking person has to figure everything out. And if you can't explain it or you can't figure it out, then you have a tendency to have doubt about whatever is in front of you, whether it be biblically or whatever. Sometimes I've found that people even say things to me that they never did. And so that caused me to even begin to doubt people and what people said. And so I just really struggled with that. But the bad part of doubts is that doubts cause negative thinking. And when you begin to think negatively, then what will occur in that is that it paralyzes your growth. And with that negativity, it seems like there's some people that are negative about everything. And so they have to really deal with this issue of struggling with doubts and letting doubts cause them or keep them from moving forward. Some people are just like that. I mean, even certain men and women struggle with doubts, no doubt about that, as they get older. Doubt has been defined as that feeling of uncertainty, that feeling of a disbelief, maybe a lack of trust, if you would. And you might be here today like I was as a young Christian. There were just certain doubts I had, just certain things that I struggled with. And so, you know, in struggling with doubts and dealing with those things, you know, my question is, why do any of us have doubts about God's Word? You may find yourself, as you read the Scriptures, you'll come across a passage and you say, well, I don't really understand how that could be. You may have doubts about your relationship with God. You may have doubts about the goodness of God. Or maybe you might even find that when you come into a situation in your life that's like a storm, you may have doubts. I like what one person said. It said, don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big God is. And by the way, we have a really big God. And in this series, we've been discussing how big God is. And there's so many people this is the third week of this series. There's so many people that have God that he's just so something little. They want to put him in their pocket or maybe somewhere. They want to take him with him and they only pull him out when they need him. But God is so much bigger than that. And we have to realize that God is big enough to remove our doubts. That God can take care of those things in our life, those areas in which we struggle in believing, in struggle with, you know, maybe accepting, if you would. In fact, I have found that doubts are Satan's greatest weapon against the Christian. It causes us to, again, to stop in our Christian growth. If you have doubts, you're going to find, and I'm going to find, that will stop us in our growth and our walk with God. So how do we deal with it? Well, honesty is the very best thing. Being honest about the fact that you have doubts. Be honest about the fact that you are a thinking person, and thinking people do struggle with doubts. And so we come to a passage in the Bible in Luke chapter 24. If I can get you to go with me, please, to Luke chapter 24. I want you to see in Luke chapter 24 the disciples. Do you realize that they were godly men, but yet they had doubts as well? Let me set up the account for you as you're turning there. Jesus has now risen from the dead. The ladies had gone to anoint Jesus' body. They're at the graveside, and they go to the graveside, to the tomb where Jesus was laid to rest. They get there, the stone has been rolled away. Jesus is gone. All of a sudden, everything changes. He's gone. How can he be gone? Somebody must have stolen his body. They had forgotten that Jesus had told them that he was going to rise from the dead. They had forgotten the fact that he said what he was going to do, and he did what he said he was going to do. They had forgotten about that. And so now Jesus had risen from the dead. These ladies go, and they go tell the 11 disciples about the resurrection, and they're still mystified, and they have to come and see for themselves. Well, Jesus shows up on the scene. Jesus is now risen.
And he comes to them. And look at verse 36 and notice. And he said to them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye have seen, have ye seen. So in other words, what he's saying is, he says, I want you to see me as I am. Look at verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said to them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. Here Jesus is standing right there, right in their presence. It is him. It's not someone who looks like him. It's not someone who's pretending that he is Jesus. It is Jesus himself. And he's standing there. The reality of who he is there, and yet they still had doubts. And he ate the fish. Did you see that? And he reminded them that a spirit can't eat. You have to have a physical body to eat. And Jesus ate before them. And they were still just in their mind having doubts. So how do you deal with doubts? What do we learn about doubts? Well, if they're there, we have to accept and be honest with ourselves and with God that sometimes we do have doubts. I love the man, if you remember, when Jesus was doing some healing, remember the man came to him and he asked that his child be healed. And remember when he said, you know, help thou mine unbelief. Maybe you're here today and that's where you are. You just need some help with an area you have doubts about. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if we leave our doubts unresolved, the devil will use that to keep us from our spiritual walk. The devil will keep us from our spiritual growth. So how do we deal with all of this? Well, the Bible says that if I have doubts, the only way that I can defeat my doubts is by faith. Faith is the enemy to doubt. Thank God that's the case. Faith is the enemy to doubt, and because of that, then where do I get my faith? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then if I'm going to have faith, and if faith is going to conquer my doubts, and it's going to defeat those things that come in my life, then I'm going to have something that's powerful enough to deal with those doubts that come in my life. Because I'm going to be honest with you, doubts are very common. They're very normal. The maturing process is going from trying to figure God out to believing God. And there has to be the ability to be able to defeat those doubts by faith. And how does this work? How is it that if I'm going to defeat these doubts, what is it that I'm going to need to give me faith? I'm going to need God's word. Can I tell you this? The way you and I are going to defeat the doubts in our life is we're going to need God's word. That's the only way. Now, here's how this works. So let me illustrate for you. So I hope you can follow this illustration, okay? So here's what we have. This is your mind right here, okay? If I take the lid off, what I have on my mind is I have an empty mind filled with doubts. It's just there. And we'll even say if you're here today and you know Christ, that we'll say that as a believer that you still have doubts that come in your mind. You may have doubts about the fact that maybe Jonah swallowed by a whale. One man said this. He said, you know, I really struggle with the fact that Jonah swallowed a whale. And I said, I do too, because Jonah didn't swallow a whale. A whale swallowed Jonah, okay? And so some people have doubts about those things. Some people have doubts about Abraham offering up his son Isaac. One guy said, I really struggle with the fact that Abraham offered up Moses. I said, I do too, because it's not in the Bible, okay? But some people really struggle with that. I mean, they're trying to figure that out. And so, you know, they deal with those issues, and they're struggling with doubts. And, and maybe about the fact that can they do this and can they do that? And so how do I deal with doubts? Is God big enough to remove my doubts? Can faith in the Lord give me victory over my doubts? Here's our mind. Filled with doubts. And before I became a believer, I had doubts. Lots of doubts. But then, we know that obviously in this picture, this is like the air, okay? If I want to get air out of this container, how can I do that? And if I want to get doubts out of my mind, how can I do that? Can I just pour it out? Is that how I do it? Okay, so I have doubts in my mind. I'll just take my head, turn aside, hit it, and they'll fall out. Is that how it works? It's impossible. The only way that I can get the air out of this container, which would be my mind, is I need to fill it with something. And the only way that you and I can get doubts out of our mind and out of our heart is we must fill it with something. Here is a picture that represents the Word of God. So if I want to get rid of the doubts, if I fill this picture over here, my mind, what's going to happen is the doubts are disappearing. And the problem with many of us as believers, the reason why we have so many doubts is because we have no relationship with God's Word. We don't read God's Word. God's Word to us is nothing more than a book that we, in fact, I've even had some people, believers in our church say, yeah, I got to go get my book. It's not a book. It's God's Word. It's not just some book that I put on a shelf that looks good. It's God's holy word. And my relationship to God's holy word is going to definitely be related to how many doubts I have in my life. And the more of the Word of God I have in my life, the less doubts I'll have in my life. So how is God big enough to remove them? Absolutely. What do I do? I have to take the Word of God and let it fill my mind. Now, how do I do that? What is involved in that? Well, I'm going to give you some principles that we can use to cure this doubt that we have in our mind. The Bible shows us these things. Number one is that we're to remember. What happened with these disciples is that the Lord said, goes back and says, remember, they're reminded, remember what God's Word said. Remember what Jesus said. Remember what the Bible says. Remember about the fact that Jesus Christ did come to this earth 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ did die, that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Just remember that. We need to remember God's Word. Oftentimes, people just forget God's Word. You know, it's a strange thing about that, though, for me, is I found out that I can read a sports score or I can read something that has nothing to do with God, you know, in our secular world, maybe a newspaper article I can read, and I can remember that thing for years. But there'll be certain verses that I've tried to memorize, and I've gone over 500 times, and I still can't seem to remember it. Anyone ever have a problem like that? I know I do. It's a weird thing. I can almost give you everything that's happening in our box scores, but I can't even tell you what's going on in the book of Romans sometimes. I forget. My mind is just like that. And here's what God says. God says we're to remember His Word. Now, let me give you the next thing that we're to do. We're to ruminate over God's Word. The idea of ruminate is to meditate. And if I meditate over God's Word, that means that I begin to think deeply about it. In other words, God's Word is not just a book that I open up. It's not just something that I just, you know, occasionally read. But I open it up and I meditate on it. Meditate means that I'm going to set aside. It's not this idea that somehow or another that that I'm going to take this, this microphone's acting up here on me, that I'm going to take and just, you know, open it up and I'm going to read through it and then it's going to go implant in my mind. It means the fact that I'm going to have to think on it. In fact, I believe that's the missing ingredient in a lot of Christians' lives. that we just, you know, we think just reading, all of a sudden, well, reading it, that's just going to take care of it. No, we got to think about it. We need to meditate on it. Let me suggest something to you. Something that really came to my mind, and I was actually at a leadership meeting about 2 weeks ago. And this was a suggestion among leaders. And these are leaders of big Fortune 500 companies. These are the things that leaders do for their company. And let me say this. There's nothing in this world greater than God of the next world. And if they do this for their world, I believe we got to do that for God. Here's what they do. In the mornings, they do not get on the internet. First thing in the morning when they get up, they don't get on the internet. They don't read an email. They don't turn on a television set. They don't turn on a radio. Great leaders realize the fact that if you're going to have a great day and really have proper thinking, you don't need your mind jaded by the things out here in the world. Can I tell you something? Everybody has their opinion and information they want to give you. What we need to do is check in with heaven first. What we need to do is we need to go to, and not let our minds be worrying about the next Ebola patient or this thing happening or what's going on the stock market when we get up in the mornings or what's happening for the day. What we need to do is focus on what God wants for me today. Don't fill your mind with anything first before you fill your mind with God's word. Set aside that time and just decide that, God, this is your time. Where it's 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, that you just say, before I turn on the radio, before I turn on the television, before I listen to the internet, before I do anything else, I'm just going to focus on you and let you speak to my heart. And I must tell you, I made that decision about 2 weeks ago, and it revolutionized the way I think now. It has changed completely everything. You know, I used to get up in the morning, first thing I do is check the email, make sure nothing happened while I was gone. What a mistake. Because here's what happens. I get four emails and someone wants me to reply, and I'm one of these kind, I got to reply. Then I find myself, if I'm not careful, I'm going to spend that first hour replying to emails and neglecting my time with God that I should. Then what I'll do is I'll just kind of rush through my Bible reading to get done so that are you guys connecting with me on this? Here's what God is saying. We need to really focus and meditate on what God wants to say to us. He's more important than anything else that we need to listen to. So ruminate. Remember, ruminate. And then there's a last part of this that what happens is they're meditating on the scriptures as they're told to do that by Jesus. Then the third thing they're told to do here to cure these doubts is that they're to report, that is, they're to tell others. When you start telling others, you know, one of the things I found that as a person who has been teaching the Bible over the years and maybe you as a teacher, you probably find that you need to know the Bible a whole lot better than your students do. And the best way to know that is when you start telling others about it. You see, sometimes Christians will say, well, you know, I don't know that I could tell somebody the Bible. Then my question is this, how well do you know it? Maybe the reason why you can't tell somebody else is not fear. The Lord says that we're to tell others. The reason why I think sometimes we don't is not fearing other people. It's because we lack confidence in what we should know as being the Word of God. I should be able to tell anyone. I could tell anyone about what God says. If we met God this morning, it's not hard to talk about Him this afternoon. But if we didn't meet Him this morning, it's a lot easier to talk about Ebola or about something going on in the stock market or something going on in the world. But if I met God this morning, I can't help but want to talk about Him that afternoon. When I had the opportunity to get alone with somebody else, and maybe we're sitting down talking, and we can talk about the greatest event that's ever happened in our life, and that is to meet Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So I want to ask you today, how about you? Are you struggling with doubts? Someone made this little post, and I kind of liked it. It said, doubt busters. Says, are you having doubts about your faith? There are three doubt busters. Number one, regularly get read God's word, Romans 10:17 we saw. Number two is dwell on God's faithfulness. That is, again, the rumination. And number three is to avoid temptation. That's a good way to deal with it. So many times we put ourselves in temptation. God says, you know, that we're to flee temptation. So what is God trying to tell us? I believe that God's saying to us, you have doubts? You don't have to have doubts. Because here's something I found about doubts. Doubts add pressure and stress to my life. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to get the stresses out of my life. I don't want more in my life. I want less. If I can just get rid of some of these stresses, then I can have a heart that's open to God, and I can have a greater joy in my life when I don't have to worry about the stresses. But the reason why I believe that all of us have worry and stresses in our life is because we have doubts, and doubts come out of our negative thinking. And the reason why we do that is because we don't have God's word in our mind to help us to understand God's got it all taken care of. How am I doing? You guys with me? So if God's big enough to remove my doubts, I have to go to God and let God and his word fill my mind so that when all of these things come and those things are invading me and trying to rob me of my joy, and that's what Satan wants us to do. He cannot take away our salvation, but he can take our joy away. But I must tell you that all of us will have our doubts. The problem is not the fact that we have doubts. The problem is the fact of how we deal with doubts. I don't want doubts to hang around my life very long. I realize they may come, but I want to get them out. Maybe you're here today struggling with doubts about God and your relationship to him. It's amazing to me how many people are struggling with that. They struggle with the fact that their relationship with God, they're just not certain. Do I know God? Do I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven? I have doubts about that. Well, if you have doubts about that, you can take care of that today. Doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith, one man said. Today I'm asking you, would you be willing to come to God according to the Bible as God says and trust God in his word to take you just as you are? If you're without Christ today, God will take you just as you are. The Bible said that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, that he did die on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And because he did that, the Bible said that you and I can have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You see, it's not a religion. It's not a church. It's Jesus and him alone. And when we put our faith in him, when we put our trust in him, when we put our confidence in him, we can know that we're going to heaven because what God says in his word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But maybe I'm talking to some Christians today. There might be some Christians that you started reading your Bible at the beginning of the year and you quit. I never forget one time I was in a meeting. That was a few years ago, and I was preaching similar to about reading your Bible and all of that, and I did this, and I don't know, maybe I just wasn't aware of this, but here's what I said. As our heads are, I said, how many of you would say that you actively have a consistent daily reading time and prayer with God? How many of you could raise your hand and say that? And there were three people out of a crowd of 200. And I'm asking you today, are you in the three or are you in the other 197? Do you have a consistent daily Bible time? Do you read your Bible every day? Do you meditate on what you read? And if you do, how's it impacted your life and changed your life recently? Could you stand before maybe a guy at work who would say, you know, you say you go to church and you read the Bible, can you tell me something you learned this week about it? What would you be willing to say? Could you actually stand and give an explanation of your faith before them. No wonder we have doubts. The greatest doubt buster we have is God's Word. That's the only way. And let me tell you this. If we are not careful, our doubts will sabotage our actions. Our doubts will affect what we do. It'll keep us from moving ahead. It'll keep us from doing things. You know, the majority of Christians never see too many great miracles in their life because they let doubts stay around. I don't know about you, but I want to get rid of doubts. I want to get them out of my life. The only way we can do that is by reading God's Word. We need God's Word. I need God's Word in my life. I was thinking about personal reading. I'm thinking about time we could spend with our families reading God's Word. And here's what I want to ask you today. Would you be willing to make the commitment today? I'm not talking about yesterday. That's all in the past. Today. Would you be willing to make the commitment to say, you know what? Today, I'm going to read God's Word. And then tomorrow, I'm going to read God's Word. And the next day, I'm going to read God's Word. And you might say, how do I read it? You know, and here's what some people do. I know this happens because I've had people tell me this. Well, you know, Pastor, I started off reading the Bible, and I read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. And then about the 10th day in January, I missed it. You know, it was a late night. Couldn't get up. Couldn't read it. And then the next day, now it was 6 chapters, and man, I had to rush and go to work. And then before long, you know, now here, you know, I haven't read it in a couple of weeks, and we're moving into January. I'll tell you what I'll do. Next year, I'll start over. So for the next 11 months, they don't read the Bible. And guess what happens in the next 11 months? Temptations come. And they start doubting. They start listening more to the world, and they really ignore what God has to say. Or maybe they come to church some, and then while they get to church, the only Bible they get is what they hear the preacher talk about. And can I tell you this? I'm going to preach the Bible, but it's digested material. Don't you like food that's undigested better than digested food? Because you need it for you. And so I want to challenge you today to make the commitment. There are lots of plans. There are lots of things. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, it's almost November now. And you mean to tell me if I were to start now that, you know, why don't I just wait a couple of months? Look at all the time that you lose. Look at all the stress you'll have in the next couple of months. And as we enter the holidays, there's going to be a lot of stress. Why not start today? There's a lot of plans. I mean, you could just start at the beginning, but there's some plans. I like YouVersion. Maybe you've seen that app. You can get that online if you want to do that. You can ask Chrissy. We'll be glad to give it to you because you can start those anytime. Start reading those passages, and here's what happens. When you get into God's Word, your spiritual doubts will go away when you replace your doubts with faith in God's Word. Imagine what it would be like if you woke up tomorrow morning and now the doubts are starting to go away. You know, the doubt about, oh, I got that now. Oh, I know that now. Yeah, I get that. Wow, that's tremendous. I know what God, and man, God showed me that this morning. Can you imagine what that would be like if God was speaking to you? By the way, that's how God works. He speaks through His Word. He speaks, and He wants us to listen to what He has to say. You see, your spiritual doubts will go away when you replace doubts with faith in God's Word. Here's something I want you to take with you. Without a doubt, God can remove our doubts. Can we say that together? Without a doubt, God can remove our doubts. One more time. Without a doubt, God can remove our doubts. And this morning, if you're struggling with doubts about God, about things, and here's how I see it. God is the creator of the world, and the reason why we have so many doubts about everything else is because we have doubts about Him. And when we get those doubts right, then our perspective of everything else will begin to change as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.